Okay, in today's lecture, we're going to talk about sequences and subsequences. So given a sequence AN, we're strictly increasing positive integers N1 less than N2 less than N3 and so on. The sequence AN1, AN2, AN3 is called a subsequence of the original sequence AN. And we denote this subsequence by left brace A sub NK, right brace K equals 1 to infinity. So a subsequence contains a subcollection of terms of the original sequence in the same order. Caution. AN1, AN1, AN1 cannot be called a subsequence because the subscripts or indices do not strictly increase. They're constant. So as an example, consider the sequence 2 to the n equals 2, 4, 8, 16, and so on. Then the sequence 2 to the 2k equals 4, 16, 64, and so on is a subsequence. As you can see, the new sequence is a subset of the original sequence in the same order. The original sequence was 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, 256. And the subsequence is 4, 16, 64, which is some of the terms of the original sequence in the same order. By contrast, the sequence 2 to the 1 plus quantity k minus n squared is not a subsequence of 2 to the n, because the positive integers 1 plus k minus 1, 9 squared are not strictly increasing as k increases. You want the subsequence indexes to strictly increase. Proposition. If aj is a convergent sequence with limit alpha, then every subsequence of aj converges also to alpha. Conversely, if a sequence bj has the property that each of its subsequences is convergent, then the sequence bj itself is convergent. So let's prove this. Assume that aj is a convergent sequence converging to alpha. Let ajk be a subsequence. Let epsilon be bigger than 0. Choose capital N bigger than 0 so that absolute aj minus alpha is less than epsilon whenever j is bigger than n. Now, if k is bigger than n, then j sub k is certainly bigger than n, and hence ajk minus alpha is less than epsilon. Therefore, by definition, the subsequence ajk also converges to alpha. So that's the forward direction of the proposition. The converse is trivial because the sequence itself is a subsequence of itself. So if every subsequence converges, then the whole sequence itself converges. The second part of this last proposition may be strengthened in the following way. If every subsequence of bj converges, then all the subsequence of bj converge to the same limit. The proof of this claim is an exercise for you. We now show a very interesting property of sequences of real numbers called real sequences for short. We say that a term aj of the real sequence is forward dominating if aj bigger than or equal to ak for all k bigger than or equal to j. That is, aj is greater than or equal to every term after it. So now our theorem says every real sequence a sub n has a monotone subsequence. As you know, monotone means it's either increasing or decreasing. So if an contains infinitely many dominating terms, we just introduced that terminology, an1, an2, an3 with n1 less than n2 less than n3 and so forth, then ank is clearly a decreasing subsequence of an. So assume instead that the sequence an has only finitely many dominating terms. Let n1 be a positive integer so that for every n bigger than or equal to n1, an is not a dominating term. Since an1 is not dominating, there is an n2 in n, so that n2 is bigger than n1, and an1 is less than an2. Since an2 is not dominating, there is an n3 in the natural numbers, such that n2 is less than n3, and an2 is less than an3. Continuing this way, we obtain an increasing subsequence ank. The above theorem ensures that the sequence sin n has a monotone subsequence, but finding that subsequence is rather tricky. Every subsequence of a bounded sequence is bounded, and every bounded monotone sequence converges. So we arrive at the following fundamental result of Bolzano and Weierstrass. Theorem. The Bolzano-Weierstrass theorem. Let AN be a bounded sequence of real numbers, then there is a subsequence that converges. It is instructive to read the alternative proof of this result presented in the textbook, starting with an interval minus m to m, where m is bigger than 0, that contains all terms of the sequence, and pick any term an1 then bisect the interval into two subintervals of equal length, and from a subinterval of length m containing infinitely many terms an, take a term an2 with n2 bigger than n1, continue in this fashion to obtain a subsequence ank. Note that ank and all subsequent terms in the subsequence are in an interval of length 4m over 2 to the k, so the subsequence is Cauchy and hence convergent. Example, construct a sequence an such that for each real number x, there is a subsequence of the ans that converges to x. Since the set Q, the rationals, is countable, there is a sequence an whose terms are all the elements of Q, with each element of Q occurring exactly once. Let x be a real number. Choose an 1 so that an 1 minus x is less than 1. We can do that because the rationals are dense. Suppose that n1 less than n2 out to n sub t have been chosen, so that an j minus x is less than 1 over j for all j equals 1 to t. Now choose n sub t plus 1 such that nt is less than nt plus 1, and an t plus 1 minus x in absolute value is less than 1 over t plus 1, and this is possible as there are infinitely many rational numbers in any small open interval. It is then clear that the subsequence ank converges to x. So that's a pretty interesting example, that you can find a sequence that has a subsequence converging to any real number x. The sequence an is 1 plus minus 1 to the n, which is 0, 2, 0, 2, dot, 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 diverges, obviously. A subsequence of this sequence converges if and only if it has only finitely many 0 terms or finitely many 2 terms. Now let's state the complex Bolzano-Weierstrass theorem. Let alpha j be a bounded sequence of complex numbers, then there is a convergent subsequence. The proof is pretty obvious, but let's just go through it. Write alpha j, that's the complex sequence, equals aj plus ivj, with aj and bj real. The fact that the alpha j's are bounded implies that the aj's are bounded. By the Bolzano-Weierstrass theorem, there is a convergent subsequence ajk. Now the sequence bjk is bounded, so it has a convergent subsequence bjkl. Then the sequence alpha jkl is convergent, and is a subsequence of the original sequence alpha j. So that's the complex Bolzano-Weierstrass theorem. Now let's talk a little bit about divergence to plus infinity or to minus infinity. We say that a real sequence diverges to plus infinity if for every real number m bigger than 0, there is a positive integer n, so that aj is bigger than m for all j bigger than n. In this case, we say that the aj has limit plus infinity, and we write limit as j goes to infinity, aj equals plus infinity, or aj right arrow plus infinity. Divergence to minus infinity is similar. Notice that the limit as j goes to infinity of aj equals minus infinity, if and only if the limit as j goes to infinity of minus aj is plus infinity. For example, consider the sequence n cubed minus 20n minus 100, which can be thought of as n cubed times the quantity 1 minus 20 over n squared minus 100 over n cubed. It obviously diverges to plus infinity, while from calculus we know that 2 to the n over minus n to the fifth diverges to minus infinity. However, the sequence n plus minus 1 to the n has no infinite limit, no finite limit. Although it has a sequence using even subscripts that diverges to plus infinity, and has a sequence using odd subscripts that converges to 0. Proposition. Let aj be an increasing sequence of real numbers, then the sequence has a limit, either finite or plus infinity. Let bj be a decreasing sequence of real numbers, then the sequence has a limit, either finite or minus infinity. In the same spirit as the last definition, we have the following. If s is a set of real numbers which is not bounded above, we say that its supremum, or at least upper bound, is plus infinity. If t is a set of real numbers which is not bounded below, then we say that its infimum, or greatest lower bound, is minus infinity. So let's consider now the negation of the statement limit as n goes to infinity of a n equals alpha. Let alpha be a complex number. It is useful to have a precise understanding of the negation of the statement the sequence a n converges to alpha. Note that the negation includes two possibilities. Either a n diverges or a n converges to a number different from alpha. But such formulation is not convenient to apply always. A precise and specific negation of the statement the sequence AN converges to alpha comes directly from the epsilon N definition. Fact. The sequence AN does not converge to a number alpha if and only if there is a positive number epsilon 1 bigger than 0, such that for each positive integer N, there is a positive integer little n bigger than capital N, such that absolute value AN minus alpha is bigger than or equal to epsilon 1. In particular, the above fact may be used to show that if a sequence AN does not converge to a number alpha, then AN has a subsequence that does not have any subsequence converging to alpha. For a given sequence AN, how could we construct a sequence BN with the property that each term AJ is the limit of a subsequence of BN? Note that the set S, which is the set of all AJ plus 1 over K for J, K, and N, the natural numbers, is countable, so there is a sequence BN whose terms are all the elements of S. It is left as an exercise to verify that BN has the desired property. And that is the end of today's lesson.